Welcome to the California Wireless Association podcast. We are proud to say that CAWA has been advancing the wireless industry, helping businesses grow, fostering connections between people, and impacting lives through the charities we support for over 10 years. We'll be coming to you bi-weekly with new topics, education, and lively discussions. Let's dive right into today's topic. Please welcome your host, John Coombs.
All right, welcome to another episode of the California Wireless Association podcast. I'm your host, John Coombs. I'm a senior vice president at Butler America Telecom, and I'm also a CAWA board member. Thanks for everyone who listens on a regular basis. Again, if you have any ideas for topics, please consider making a connection with me on LinkedIn and message me ideas. So today, I am pleased to have Brian Ryan of Southern California Edison's Carrier Solutions Division. Welcome to the podcast, Brian.
Hey, John. Thank you. Thanks for having us. Thank you.
No, thank you. And so I did a little sleuthing. I looked on your LinkedIn profile primarily, and it looks like you've been in telecom for a while, early 90s, starting with Pac Bell. And yeah. And as my listeners know, I kind of like to get into the how you got into the telecom space question. So maybe you could talk about that and what up to the point when you were pegged to, yeah. and hired at Carrier Solutions.
Yeah, it's so I got into telecom through a friend, a guy I went to high school with. We went to college together. And he had reached out to me and said, hey, I've got a buddy and he's a VP over at Pac Bell and they're looking for salespeople. And at the time it was, you know, before the industry was deregulated. And I was like, I don't understand why a Pac Bell would need a salesperson. and he said, well, they're looking for outside salespeople and they're selling this Centrex product, which was, you know, essentially a telephone line, but it had all these embedded PBX features. So you could, you know, basically convince people to use Centrex instead of going out and buying an expensive PBX system. So anyways, long story short, I ended up, you know, taking the job and really enjoying it and starting to learn more about the industry. And from Pac Bell, I actually went to work for one of the first CLECs, which at the time was Teleport Communications Group, TCG. And that's really when deregulation, you know, started to kick off with CLECs and got into the sales part of it there and then moved into some project management with some real estate functions of getting, you know, telecommunication license agreements to bring fiber into buildings and serve the tenants. And from there, you know, did some other work with some other smaller telecoms and some ISPs. And eventually that ended up with going to work for a electrical contractor, Hugh O'Kane Construction. And they had gone public and were expanding into all the big cities under the name Lexent. And that was really at the time where there was a lot of data center builds and carriers were building metro rings. So we got a lot of work doing that and had the state of California started out as a business development guy and then got more into the operational side. And they, like a lot of companies, were hit hard after 9/11 and pulled out a lot of the markets they had expanded into. And then went to work for Volt Telecom and spent some great time there. Learned an awful lot when I was there from, you know, some great people, some very knowledgeable people, and really appreciative of that time I spent there. And had a large territory as a business development, and then that translated eventually into being the VP of construction for the West Coast. So that was a, you know, like I said, learned an awful lot, very challenging job, and we finished a large project and just wanted to get back to something more localized, wasn't traveling as much. And there was an opportunity with Southern California Edison and came on board as a project manager and eventually through some attrition got back into the sales function, which is where I am today as a principal manager of sales and marketing and also take on special projects when that's required, like the Irvine Company build we're finishing up now.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I definitely want to talk about that project in a bit here. But, you know, just for our listeners, I mean, I know you weren't there at the time, but maybe just generally speak about the origins of Carrier Solutions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. It was so obviously electric utilities, you know, use telecommunications not only for voice and data traffic, but also to operate their substations, remote switches, and you know, the grid. So SCE had quite a bit of, you know, fiber they were using on a utility basis, and they started getting inquiries from CLECs and long distance carriers about the availability of that fiber. That really led to a kind of a deep dive study of the market to understand, you know, what opportunity was there if they expanded it. The decision was made to expand that and go into the commercial telecom business. And I'm really paring this down sake of time, but there was about a $90 to $100 million investment to expand that existing SCE fiber to serve more commercial customers. And at the time it was in advance of deregulation. So it really was looking to serve new CLECs coming into the market. So there was laterals built, there were some rings built to serve the commercial networks. Of course, they built into downtown and built into an awful lot of COs and carrier pops. And the thought behind that was, you know, at the time, most of the CLECs coming into the market were serving their customers through copper, through unbundled loops. So they would you know, get those out of the CO and then reach that end user location. But from the CO, they needed fiber to carry that back to their point of presence. And that's really what SCE had built to serve that growing market. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was a large investment and they've been very successful in growing that market, growing with the CLECs, and then, of course, growing with the wireless carriers from a backhaul perspective. And that's included, you know, everything from Sonnet to Wavelengths to Dark Fiber, now Ethernet, and of course, you know, internet services. Mm-hmm. And so that's really how the business started. It started out initially leasing Dark Fiber, and then that evolved to a major investment and also SCE becoming a CLEC.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. And obviously, you know, entrepreneurial behavior that's successful goes straight back to savings for the ratepayers and all that. And so, I mean, I've always been impressed by it. And so, you know, I got into wireless in 99. And so, I mean, I don't remember my first site walk with SCE for a wireless site, but yeah, I've probably been on dozens of them. And yeah. But I've always found it, you know, really cool. And that, you know, the people that you have, that you work with, the people that work under you, like Scott Haney and like Ann Gildersleeve, like Phil Hickerson, these people, they always seem cheerful and they always have a great customer service ethic. And I've always just been impressed by it up and down the line. And it just sort of seems like there's something special at Carrier Solutions, you know, sort of from the outside looking in, that it seems like everybody's rowing in the same direction. Can you comment about how you know, that culture is? I mean, I'm hoping I'm right. Maybe you're at each other's throats or something, but it's clear that, and it's been maintained for 20 plus years as a really great culture.
Well, thank you for that, and I really appreciate it. And no, it's not a facade. Everybody really does understand what our role is and the part we play. You know, we do benefit, you know, the company and the ratepayers, the shareholders, you know, through the work. And internally, you know, we've had a strong team, and that team has really been consistent for, you know, 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
And they're all, whether it's on the sales side with Phil and Scott, or whether it's on the project management side with Alex, or the operational mm-hmm. side with Joe, they're all subject matter experts. And, right. you know, it's amazing how well they all work together. They know what needs to be done. And you know this. Differentiating yourself in the market can be tough, especially mm-hmm. in this business. But ultimately, you know, I think what everybody we agree upon is that your customer service, that customer experience, has to be a strong differentiator. Mm-hmm. And part of that is, you know, you run into challenges, you run into delays, you've got to find ways to solve that, and doing that in a way that, you know, the customer never feels like they're not getting an answer, or that, you know, they don't have our full attention. That's just over the years, I think, in just a great team, that's just ingrained within them, is mm-hmm. to figure out a way to get things done. And everybody is a professional. They know what needs to be done. They do it proactively. And that, you know, bringing new people in, that they start to see that, and they understand that this is, you have to do it a certain way. Mm-hmm. Otherwise we just can't sustain this.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And one thing cool, I mean, for me, I mean, being on the SIDAC side so long is, you know, the predictability about your processes. It's not different every time. You guys, it's like an assembly line. I mean, if we do our part, you'll yep. do your part, and we'll get out the backside with an agreement or whatever needs to be done. And it's not like a mystery. It's not like subjective. It's very clear. And I mean, it's, and that, and predictability, clarity is important in life generally, of course, but yeah. I mean, you guys really have had that down for so long. It's almost like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It's almost the same process today as it was 15 years ago. I mean, it's great.
There's little refinement, you know, and those get a lot of discussion internally. You know, those mm-hmm. aren't taken lightly. But you know, we're within a utility. You know, we're right. not a subsidiary. We're not outs. We're embedded inside the utility. So, mm-hmm. and a utility, you know, a lot of it, you know, revolves around process. How well, you know, does everybody know what to expect, right? Is it documented? Do people know what their roles are? So, you know, one is we've got our external customers, and we work with their contractors or SIDACs. So we want to make it clear to them what happens, right? Mm-hmm. And as you know, there's a lot of, you know, back and forth, right? It'll come in our court, and then it goes back out, and there's a lot of moving parts there. And we want to make sure people understand how we support that, what to expect to the best of our ability with timing and everything else. On the other side, internally, you know, we are working with assets that weren't designed to be telecommunication structures. Mm-hmm. So a big part of this has been the confidence and the trust that we've gained with our transmission and distribution team, to make sure that they're confident that we're always doing the right thing, and that we're good stewards of those assets, mm-hmm. and that safety and the delivery of safe, reliable electricity is the number one goal. Mm-hmm. And we fulfill that every day. So, right. You're correct. There is very little that isn't documented in terms of that entire process. Every right. once in a while, something comes up, but because everything else runs on a process, it leaves a lot of resources left. If you have an outlier, how do we deal with this?
Right, right, right. Well, I mean, much of my experience obviously has been with, you know, the siting of antennas on your assets and whatnot. But you know, I think you and I first met about 2 years ago, and in talking, I didn't know about all your business relationships, and so you touched on it before, and I think we talked about it back then about how much of a partnership you have going with the Irvine Company. So let's talk about that, because that's really really cool and really innovative, especially it's very entrepreneurial of you guys.
It's almost out of character, right? So what happened was, you know, we were looking for ways to expand the business. So when I talked about that, you know, those early years of SCE, our carrier solutions business, a lot of it, what we were doing was revolving around providing this wholesale network, a carrier's carrier. Mm-hmm. And really our, you know, for so long, I mean, we really built the entire business and survived on 40 customers. Mm-hmm. And as the world changed and it became more of a race to this fiber to the X, right? Mm-hmm. And that really for us started with fiber to the cell site. And as that started to grow, that demand for fiber to the building kept growing and growing. And that's really, you know, there's less CLECs in the market. And, you know, with the CLECs remaining, they're either asking us for a type 2 circuit into a commercial building, or mm-hmm. maybe we have an opportunity in there. So we looked at a lot of different, let's say, opportunities to keep growing the business. And while we were looking at that, we had started a conversation with the Irvine Company, and that started the same time they were really looking to solve an issue that they've had for a while, which is they had fiber in some buildings, but not in all. And they were really looking for this comprehensive type of approach. Could somebody come in and build to all of their buildings? When it started, John, it was interesting. It was office, retail, and residential, the multi-tenant or the multi-dwelling units, not the right. single-family homes. And that was about 700 buildings total. And there was an awful lot of people bidding on it. And, you know, a lot of great companies and companies that had a lot of experience in that arena, whether it was residential or commercial office space or retail. We really took the approach saying we feel we're strongest in serving a wholesale market and or large enterprise where they operate like a carrier, meaning mm-hmm. they have an IT department and maybe they have a telecom department embedded in that. And so what we had pitched initially and throughout the entire bidding process was, you know, we want to approach this like an open access network. So we're going to build it. We're going to market it to all of the carriers in the region and give them access to this fiber. Same time, you know, we would like to sell some direct and get our feet wet in that. But the main focus on this is really going to be selling to carriers. And that seemed to resonate well with the Irvine Company. And long story short, we didn't win that initial RFP. Mm. It actually went to XO.
Okay.
And XO then was soon bought by Verizon, as you know, and I think they had pulled out of the project, and it was rebid. It was rebid as office and retail only for the Orange County properties, mm-hmm. and residential portion of it went to Google Fiber.
Okay.
So we went back in and submitted a revised bid, and we won that, still sticking to that concept of really making this an open access network. So as of today, we're you know, pretty much let's say 98% complete. We're dealing with the remaining outlier buildings, some of the stuff that's pretty far off the network, but we're getting through that and really should be almost 99% complete by the early part of let's say Q1 of 2022. The build has really, for us, has been an entire new network. So we've built two new rings, totaling about backbone rings, about 52 miles of fiber. It's all 432 count fiber. So that high capacity cable is new for us, and it's been great. With the exception of maybe about a half a mile, all of it's underground. From that backbone network, we've placed probably over 70 miles of campus fiber throughout their office properties. And we've clustered everything in a way that there is zero differentiation. So it doesn't matter if you're in a retail center or you're in one of their premier high rises, all products, all services are available. There's no differentiation in products or availability. And that runs from dark fiber all the way down to a shared internet product for a small business. So it's been a great project to be a part of. Great team working on it. Very, very small. We just had some great engineers and some great planners working on it, and it's been a real joy to be a part of that.
No, excellent, excellent. So you know, I got to be respectful of your time, and also the Kawa overlords not wanting me to go along. But I do want to touch upon a new relationship partnership that you have with San Bernardino School District. Can you talk about that in our closing moments?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's so that is a couple of years ago we got involved in providing telecommunication services through the E-Rate program, which is a program through the federal government where schools, you know, oversimplifying here, but, you know, can get broadband to all their schools, and they're helped out through this federal funding. So we had been working with some of the school districts and were successful on some of the bidding. And then this very large RFP came out from San Bernardino Unified School District. And we bid that. We won it. It really equated to us bringing fiber to over 80 of their locations. It's a comprehensive network that runs from their data centers into all their schools. Mm-hmm. That has equated, I think, again, into about another 80 plus miles of new fiber that was placed to serve that project. Mm-hmm. That's completed. They're operational. They're putting it into service. You know, kids are back in school. So that's one we're very, feel very appreciative to be a part of. Another great team working on that, that ran into challenges, but overcame all those challenges, got it in place, got it operational. And, you know, we're still working with San Bernardino to make sure all the transition goes well, but that's been a great project as well. And again, something kind of almost out of character for us. And mm-hmm. when you think about what we had done in the past, you know, really moving away from pure wholesale.
No, that's great. And, you know, I'm wondering, you know, is this something you guys see, that Edison will do more of in the future?
I hope so. You know, right now, you know, we've got to finish digesting everything, you know, and there's a lot to still do with the Irvine company. So, you know, we're getting more of a comprehensive open access product in place where carriers can, you know, very predictably lease dark fiber. Right now we can, for example, we can provide service to anybody in a lit building in less than 21 days. You know, it's all owned, operated, maintained, installed by Southern California Edison. So we want to get that right, and we want that to be a success. And, you know, we've been really lucky to have a great partner in the Irvine company, and they've been extremely supportive. And we want to make that work before we start, you know, looking at anything else down the road. And that's a huge opportunity. It's over 422 buildings, so.
Well, yeah. Well, you guys didn't start small. You didn't put your toe in the water. You went for one of the largest landlords in the country, and probably one of the largest school districts in the state. Why not just go all in, right?
Right.
So cool. Well, excellent. Thanks a lot, Brian, you know, like I mentioned, I just have a ton of respect for what you guys do at Carrier Solutions. And, you know, frankly, I'm a little surprised that other big utilities in the state haven't just straight up copied you guys, because I got a little quick little story about 15 years ago when we were frustrated with, let's just call it DWP, and over their siting process, I actually had the pleasure of knowing one of the board members through a previous life, and I said, you know, you guys should really consider doing what Edison's doing. I mean, they're really taking advantage of their existing assets and whatnot. And he was like, well, can you write me a white paper on it? I'm like, you know, I got a full-time job. I'm sorry.
Right.
But, you know, but it really is the model for a public utility to do what you guys are doing. And it is so great. And so thanks a ton for you being on. And I know you got a hard stop now. So is there anything else you want to leave us with before we say goodbye?
No, I just, you know, to everybody that's, you know, part of, you know, CalWA or any of our CLEC customers or direct customers, you know, very sincere thank you for the support. We really do value everyone's business. And, you know, if there's ever a point where you're unhappy or or if you're happy, let us know. Because, you know, like we talked about earlier, you know, we want that differentiator to be that great customer experience. And, you know, we're not the largest carrier out there. We're not somebody who can be that sole source provider. But we want to be a great provider to the customers where we find a good fit. And so, again, you know, if there's anything anyone ever needs, you know, reach out to me directly or to Phil, to Scott. You know, we're here to help. And John, thank you. Thank you for your continued support.
No, thank you. And I have one last question. Is Scott still driving that beater pickup?
No.
His Sightwalk pickup, I think, with 500,000 miles on it. Anyway, well, thanks again. Thanks, Brian. In honor of having you a guest from Edison, I'm going to send our listeners out with a classic 80s tune from OMD, Electricity.
Nice.
So thanks, everyone, for listening, and stay safe out there.
Thanks again, John.
Thank you for joining us. We'll see you back here in 2 weeks. Until then, for more information, visit calwa.org. That's www.calwa.org.